This is Jay Sekulow with two senior officials of the FBI under criminal investigation. It's time for accountability at the Bureau.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Two of the top people at the FBI, Andy McCabe and now former chief counsel Jim Baker, are under investigation, subject of investigations by the Justice Department. I think that's big news, particularly in light of the report that came out from the New York Times, which said that there were folks at the FBI who were thinking that the president was working with Russia.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Remember who these people are. Andy McCabe lied three times under oath, under investigation as we speak. Jim Baker, former chief counsel, subject of an investigation. And of course, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. These four people had a deep bias against the president.
And now, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We've titled this Time for Accountability at the FBI. So I almost said IRS. Fact is, we got accountability at the IRS. It just took us going to federal court and litigating it, which we were successful in winning. Got an injunction restraining, basically making them change their policies, as well as in a companion case, damages for our clients that were targeted by the IRS. Now we got the FBI. You got Andrew McCabe under a criminal investigation for what? Leaking information to the media. You now have, it was confirmed yesterday, that James Baker, the general counsel of the FBI, is under a criminal investigation for what? Leaking information to the media. We know that James Comey leaked information to the media through a friend of his and that was including conversations he had with the President of the United States. Now we learn that the FBI, although it ended its relationship with the author of the Russia dossier, the famous Christopher Steele dossier, in late 2016, not only did the Bureau keep taking information from him through Bruce Orr, who, by the way, is still there, which is an interesting question, but that the FBI actually thought about rehiring Christopher Steele, even though he was fired for leaking to the media. They thought about rehiring him. Why? Because James Comey was fired, and they thought they had an opportunity to reengage Christopher Steele.
Yeah, so exactly 6 days later from Comey being fired by President Trump, Bruce Orr is on the phone with Christopher Steele, actually text messaging with Christopher Steele about reengaging with the FBI. He said, and Bruce Orr under testimony said that Christopher Steele was ready to engage, that he talked with his wife about reengaging with the FBI, and that was planning to happen. Now, ultimately, Bob Mueller gets appointed. So what we do know is that at that point, Christopher Steele and Bruce Orr get frustrated because the special counsel, they were on track. I mean, I think they were on track by the FBI was going to re-engage, which means recontract with and start paying again Christopher Steele for work. And then Bob Mueller gets appointed. He takes it over from the FBI, so he would then have to make that decision. No indication that he re-engaged. In fact, there's frustration, but it never ends. It doesn't ever say we never got the contract from Bob Mueller. It says the special counsel's team was slow to respond. Now, that was a couple of years ago at this point.
Yeah.
So, or a year and a half ago. So, yeah, they may have been slow to respond. Did they ever respond to Christopher Steele? Did they ever reengage? We don't actually have the answer to that.
Yeah.
We just know that it wasn't as quick as the FBI. We also know this, that Bruce Orr was taking everything from Christopher Steele and giving it right to Peter Strzok. It was going from Bruce Orr to his FBI handler. He actually had a special handler for Bruce Orr. So when we say, like, was this his job? Was he appointed to do this? The FBI gave him an agent to work with.
An agent.
Yes.
So, Andy, why is all this coming? I mean, you're a former U.S. attorney. Why is all this coming out now?
Everybody's running for cover.
Because it's a criminal investigation?
Because it's a criminal investigation. So everybody's running for cover and leaking and talking to anybody that they can to exonerate themselves because they're scared to death. That's exactly what's happening.
All right. We want your reaction to this. What do you think needs to be done at the FBI? I mean, there's a lot of things going on. We're going to get your comments on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to get your reaction to this latest development. More of these coming. I think Andy's right. I think it's because there is criminal investigations pending and people are kind of running for the hills here. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. I've just instructed our staff to put together a chronology of all the emails that we've uncovered through our FOIA litigation that have these various players on it. James Baker, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Bruce Orr. We're going to have that for you probably tomorrow on the broadcast. Take your calls when we come back from the break.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledged to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, I was during the break, we were talking, so our Facebook and Periscope audience heard this, but I want you to, our radio audience, to get a sense of this too. And that is what we're uncovering here. So we had this FOIA litigation that's going on. Now you've got in the news that they were trying to go to Christopher Steele after James Comey was fired. They already fired Chris Steele for the same reason that McCabe and Baker are under investigation, leaking to the media, documents that they or information they should not be leaking. Andy, you're convinced it's all coming out now because of all these criminal investigations that are happening simultaneously.
That's right. Everybody who is now the subject or the potential subject of a criminal investigation, and they don't know who they are or when it's going to hit, are now running for cover and trying to say, I didn't do anything. Let me tell you what really happened. So-and-so said so-and-so, and so-and-so said so-and-so, it's been disclosed as saying that Steele wanted to be reengaged, and I conveyed that back to Chris Steele after he had been terminated. The questioner says, and Orr says, correct, let's bring this person who authored this salacious and unverified dossier, let's bring him back into the fold. And so Orr is now trying to tell the truth to save his own skin. They're all trying to save their own skins.
Well, okay, so then I asked this to Jordan raised in our pre-meeting, that you got to look at James Rebicki in all of this. And
he was chief of staff to Jim Comey.
Yeah.
Stuck around a little bit after Comey and was fired. And then, so obviously, anybody in that trifecta, this was a seventh floor, FBI is what they call it.
Yep.
I think that entire group, they're on the emails together. They all knew what was going on. I think when you look at how Bruce Orr admits that it was unprecedented for him to be in this kind of position,
yeah,
because it had nothing to do with his job, but the FBI, they didn't even just say, like, okay, you're not the right person to be figuring out if this guy's good or bad to be working with. We'll take it over. They just flat out said, okay, here's the agent you'll deliver the information to who will give it to Peter Strzok.
So here's
I think you remind people how, because Peter Strzok can kind of seem, I think, a little young when he's shown. He had an entire team working for him all around the world.
So here's what,
as the head of counterintelligence. So he assigned someone just to pick up stuff from Bruce Orr that Christopher Steele gave him, including the infamous thumb drive, which we believe is the dossier and may have been what led to the leak of the dossier.
So here's what you have coming up. I think this is important to understand. I want Dan Bennett to address this. So you've got all this going on at the FBI with all these investigations. We talked about them yesterday. But then you had this reattempt to reengage Christopher Steele, who wrote this dossier, after James Comey gets fired. So it was after James Comey's fired, they say, oh, let's do this. And then there's a text between Strzok and Page that says, I don't know if we have it up on the screen, but it's the one that says, hey, the plan we talked about in Andy's office, we need to see if we can get that moving. So you've got a stack of documents. Stan does, and because Stan's in our government affairs office in Washington, where these FOIA cases are being handled. And Stan, I mean, for our TV audience, you'll see him. But for our radio audience, I mean, it's about probably, it looks like to me from here on satellite, about not a satellite anymore, for our link, whatever they call it, about an inch thick or so. And Stan, describe what these documents are.
Well, so Jay, these are just the documents that reference James Baker from one of our cases. This is the case involving Hillary Clinton's server. We, as you know, we've got a number of these FOIA cases out there, and there are a number of players involved. So if we were going to, you know, go get the cases that involved any of this so-called Holy Trinity, that's the term I'm using for James Rebicki, Andrew McCabe, and James Baker, there's going to be a lot of emails in there. But Jay, just so our listeners understand, this is how we kind of have to approach these. We look for pieces of information inside these FOIAs. Remember, this case is 30 months old. We filed this FOIA first 30 months ago and didn't get our first document until 15 months ago. So along the way, you've got to kind of negotiate the parameters, both on dates and substance, on what's the most important. But Jay, we then take that information that we get and we combine it with information, like we heard from the Inspector General, that memo that James Comey leaked was also sent to James Baker. We combine it with the information that Jordan was talking about Peter Strzok and how he was involved. And Jay, what it paints then, when you put it all together, is a picture of an upper echelon at the DOJ and the FBI that was totally committed to violating policies and procedures and leaking like crazy to what? To attain a political end. But Jay, it takes 30 months of FOIA practice across multiple cases to bring those pieces together and paint that picture.
Yeah, so here, let me tell you exactly what happened. So what we're talking about, for those that may be just joining us, we now know that the FBI's Andrew McCabe, who was the number two at the FBI, is under criminal investigation for leaking. We also now know that James Baker, the general counsel of the FBI under James Comey, is under investigation for leaking. We know that James Comey, admittedly, leaked his memo of a conversation with the President of the United States to the press. His defense for that was, by the way, that these were his own notes.
These were his own notes, and for a variety of reasons, whatever those are, he said he didn't want to be the one who disclosed it. So he goes to a friend of his at Columbia University, leaks it to him to do what? Get what he ultimately wants. What does Comey ultimately want? A special counsel. Does he get it? Yes.
So let me give you another timeline. On May 9, 2017, the president fires James Comey. This supposedly caused concern within the FBI remaining leadership. On May 15th, Orrin Steele, this is Bruce Orr, whose wife Nellie worked for Fusion GPS with Chris Steele to put this dossier together. Bruce Orr is at that point the number four at the Justice Department. They discussed about re-engaging with the FBI at the Bureau's request, and apparently Steele agreed to. Here's the testimony. So you asked him, will he re-engage with the FBI? This is a question to Bruce Orr about Christopher Steele. Answer for Bruce Orr, yes. And he says, talked with my wife, I'm in. You say, with Bruce Orr, thanks. We'll let them know and we'll follow up. Then the question is asked to Bruce Orr. This is under testimony. Thanks again. I chatted with my colleagues and can give you an update when you have a minute. What was the update about? Was it about the subject? Orr says yes. So it all happens on May 15th. Yes. A week after the president fires James Comey.
That's right. And then you add to that this is when they decide, okay, let's do what we wanted to do before. So that you can, the next story that is, has, now this is interesting, it's all coming out through leaks. That's what these guys are being criminally investigated for. And I feel like they're leaking their own info. I think that Andy's right, that these are not leaks done in a nasty way or a way to hurt someone. They are to try to make themselves look like they were telling, you know, truthful, open, and honest. So what we know is that immediately when Jim Comey gets fired, Peter Strzok is saying, okay, it's time we can act now. We can finally start the investigation we wanted to start from the beginning. So it had nothing to do with Jim Comey. All that Jim Comey, that was the reason why they started the investigation. No, it was because they could start the investigation because they had Andrew McCabe to deal with instead of Jim Comey.
And McCabe wanted to do it.
And McCabe was already on board with the counterintelligence investigation.
And McCabe and we now know McCabe and Baker, the general counsel, are under investigation. And Than, you raised the Rebicki issue, the chief of staff.
Because there are three individuals that are the first line of dissemination of information from everything that James Comey sends out. It's Rebicki, Baker, and McCabe. And J.R. Foya points three different cases where this was the case. First was the exoneration statement that was going back and forth on drafts. It went to those three individuals. The second was when he announced he was reopening the case against Hillary Clinton. That also went to those three, the Holy Trinity. And then the final batch was when he reclosed the case. In each instance, J.R. Foya shows that those three individuals were the ones he initially sent it out to, and then he expanded it out in the second tier, included Peter Strzok.
So then, Andy, let me ask this question. You have the general counsel for the FBI. You have the FBI number two, who is like an acting director almost, when Comey was fired. Right. And you have Christopher Steele, who also was fired for leaking.
Correct.
James Comey, who did acknowledge that he leaked the information.
Right.
What does this tell you? And why is it coming out now? You think it's because of the criminal case?
It is. The criminal cases are causing everybody to come up and try to tell their own story in their own words and to exonerate themselves. That's what this is all about. All the rats are running for cover and ratting on each other, but they're also saying, but the truth is so-and-so, and then they tell the story. Like Orr and this thing that was published in the Epoch Times or whatever it was, is trying to say, well, let me tell you what really happened with Chris Steele. But he's trying to put his own narrative in there to save his skin. I still can't understand why he's still working at the Department of Justice.
Go figure that out. He's still a senior official with the Department of Justice. Let's go ahead and we can get a call in before the break.
Yeah, let's go to Marianne in Virginia online too. Marianne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you all for what you do.
Yep.
My question is, who's doing the investigating with these people that are under investigation? The FBI is not trustworthy at all.
So individual agents are, but here's what you got. You have this guy out in Salt Lake who is almost like appointed with the special task of looking at all of this. And then look, I mean, there are criminal investigations going on by U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia and in Connecticut. So, you know, I know this is kind of this repeated refrain of what's happening, but let's go through the list of people that aren't working there anymore. Lisa Page, senior lawyer, gone. Peter Strzok, senior counterintelligence investigator, fired. James Baker, gone. Andrew McCabe, fired. James Comey, fired. And remember, Bob Mueller removed Page and Strzok from his investigation. So there is accountability. I mean, there are things happening here. So, you know, look, these are criminal investigations, Andy. We got 20 seconds. You don't know what's going on.
I mean, no, you don't
the
know.
Idea is you don't know.
The idea is that you shouldn't know until the investigation
Because if nothing comes up,
complete.
You don't want to
cast aspersions on somebody who shouldn't have dirt thrown on him.
Yep. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. Jordan, let you know how you can engage us. We'll also take your comments on Facebook.
1-800-684-3110. We are answering your questions and taking your comments. 1-800-684-3110. Online at aclj.org. A lot of information there.
Tomorrow on with the deadline on a pro-life case. Very important case. We're going to be writing about that on our email tomorrow. You got to get those. Sign up for them at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio, Kalab, and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
So you've got, Stantz calls it the Holy Trinity, James Baker, James Bickey, and James... and Andrew McCabe. That's your trinity? Is that correct? Did I leave anybody out then? Is that your group?
That's the trinity, but I got to tell you, if you go one layer down and you incorporate Peter Strzok and the rest, you're going to have to come up with a
another
a bigger
title. Because, and you also need yeah. and Bruce Orr. So for those that are just joining us, Bruce Orr, after James Comey is fired, is in contact with Christopher Steele, who was fired, Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, was fired by the FBI for leaking information about investigations to the press. As soon as James Comey's removed, they go right back to Christopher Steele.
Yeah. Now Orr comes back to him and says, you want to come back in? And Steele says, yeah, I've talked to my wife about it. It's all worked out. I'm ready to come back in. And so he says, so next time you talk with him, Orr says, I got a call from Steele. Can you ask him if he's willing to meet with us? And I conveyed that back to Chris Steele after he'd been terminated. Correct. So bring him back, this corrupt British spy. Let's bring him back into the fold.
Okay, so here is, this came up yesterday in testimony, Senator Graham talking to Bill Barr, the Attorney General nominee, on the issue of Bruce Orr, whose wife Nellie, by the way, remember, worked for Fusion GPS, just happens to be. Here you go.
Were you aware that Mr. Orr's wife worked for Fusion GPS?
I've read that.
Does that bother you if he had anything to do with the case?
Yes.
Are you aware that on numerous occasions he met with Mr. Steele while his wife work with Fusion GPS?
I've read that.
Sounds like a pretty tough attorney general to me. Just like that. Just matter of fact. All right. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Let's grab another call.
Yeah. Andrea calling in from Texas Online 4. Andrea, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, gentlemen. Hey. I just have a comment. It just seems to me that people who have nothing to hide don't run for cover.
Well, look, I mean, I think that that's true in a sense. Remember, the courts authorized the implication and the utilization of the Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination to protect the innocent as well. So I don't want to cast any dispersion on the lawyers that are saying don't answer this question, Andy, because
no.
If we were those lawyers, you'd be saying the same thing.
No. I'm not saying anything about the lawyers who come in and say exercise a constitutional right, attorney-client privilege, or Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. That's not what I'm saying. I think the lawyers have that obligation and should exercise, though that's what those constitutional principles and rights are there for us to exercise them if we need them. But what I'm saying is leaking information that results in criminal investigations is a crime. You don't leak information that you have acquired as a government agent in the government service in order to achieve an end that you want to achieve.
So there's a text on... a text to Orr from Chris Steele on November 18, 2017. Is that the correct date?
Well, yeah.
That's what's in the report. November 18, 2017. I am presuming you've heard nothing back from your special counsel colleagues on the issue you kindly put to them for me. We've heard nothing from them either. To say this is disappointing would be an understatement. This is well into the special counsel's engagement.
Yeah. And so at that point, you know, we know that the FBI was ready to reengage with Christopher Steele, but Bob Mueller took it over. So when Bob Mueller takes it over, then things slow down for Christopher Steele. What we don't know is what happens after this. Is that it? I mean, did Bob Mueller ever question? You would think, did they ever question Christopher Steele, bring Christopher Steele in? But the bigger question would be, did they decide to ever engage Christopher Steele as an asset or utilize him for information? Because he did not do work for free. He was a hired gun.
No,
you had to
read
pay.
It.
You had to pay for Christopher Steele's
yes,
work.
Yes, Christopher Steele wasn't doing this.
He's no patriot. He's a British former spy who did this as a paid hired gun.
So this was from the testimony of Bruce Orr. This is the former Associate Deputy Attorney General. given to Congress on August 28, 2018, this past summer. So Chris Steele, this is the spy, was working for Fusion GPS and the FBI at the same time. Or, yes, I believe so. Question, was he being paid by both? Or, I believe so. Andy? It's like a double agent? I mean,
yeah, he is. Yeah, and I read that along with you. What really bothers me is the thing that you read just earlier on November 18, 2017, where Steele is asking Orr, I am presuming you've heard nothing back from your special counsel colleagues. He desperately wanted to be retained by the special counsel's office to get in there, make money. Obviously, as Jordan said, he doesn't do anything for free, and he has heard nothing back from them. To say this is disappointing would be an understatement. In other words, I wanted to get back in and make some money working on special counsel's team, and they don't want me.
Let's go ahead and take another call. Now I got a question for Than.
Yeah, we go right back to the phones. Will in Washington State on line one. Will, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Hey, so I have more of a comment than anything. It seems like these investigations are more of a witch hunt to get an answer that they want to hear. And it seems like every time they do these investigations, and I'm not saying that there's no criminal going on, but they do the investigations, they get an answer, it's not what they want to hear. It seems like in the end they just want to hear that Trump was included in these Russian mishaps, and
except there's been zero evidence produced on any point on this Russia collusion issue with regard to the president. I'm going to save this for the second half hour, Will, because you asked a question. But we've uncovered some more text messages that are very disturbing, because you see that you had. I mean, I want the picture to be painted very clearly here. The individuals involved, Bruce Orr. Is number four at the Justice Department. This is happening of November of 2017. At that point, I mean, you, Andy, you, me, and Jordan, we're all engaged as president's lawyer at that point. Right. I mean, we're involved in that. Okay, so they try to re-engage Chris Steele. Bruce Orr does this. And it's done right after Comey's fired. So they got this re-engagement attempt. Although they fired him for leaking, they try to re-engage it.
Yeah, within, and then what happens is within those days, Bob Mueller gets appointed. So the FBI loses its decision-making. Well, Andrew McCabe does. Now, Strzok joins the team. Strzok was getting info from Christopher Steele. You have to wonder if during the time Strzok was with Bob Mueller, that he brought in Christopher Steele as a paid asset to the Mueller team. I mean, they've spent $25 million at Bob Mueller's team, so it wouldn't have been that much for them to re-engage Christopher Steele. And it was Strzok who wanted Steele's info. And Strzok worked for Bob Mueller for months.
Yes, but they did. And he also was leading the counterintelligence investigation when it started a year before that.
Would it be surprising to find out that Christopher Steele was working for Bob Mueller for a few months?
I don't know the answer to that. There are text messages, and I'm going to get to these in the second half hour. And Andy, you're concerned about these text messages. This one's dated November 18th, 2017 as well. And so this is well after James Comey's gone, Bob Mueller's in place. So it raises a whole host of questions, but let's save that for the second half hour of the broadcast. Than, let's get an update from you on the Bill Barr nomination as you see it right now.
Yeah, I think Bill Barr is probably going to be confirmed by the United States Senate. Jay, I think there's a pretty decent chance he's going to get some Democrat votes. He handled himself very professionally yesterday. The outside witnesses are largely favorable to him today. I think his experience and his qualifications are unquestioned. You know, obviously, these confirmations have become increasingly partisan. Jay, the one note I would give you is that the fact that it looks like the Senate's going to be in session next week because of the ongoing shutdown might actually accelerate his confirmation by 1 week, because he would be eligible for committee consideration starting next week and a committee vote the week following.
Well, all right. We got a lot more to talk about. Hey, we'll take your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. If you're on the line, hang on there. We'll get to you in a moment. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, simply go over to aclj.org, or you can go to Facebook or Periscope.
Yep. Again, aclj.org. Remember, second half hour coming up. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about in the second half hour of JSecio Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds
to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Two of the top people at the FBI, Andy McCabe and now former Chief Counsel Jim Baker, are under investigation, subject of investigations by the Justice Department. I think that's big news, particularly in light of the report that came out from the New York Times, which said that there were folks at the FBI who were thinking that the president was working with Russia.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the call. We're taking welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So what we're talking about, yesterday we reported that, in a bit of a surprising development, that James Baker, the general counsel of the FBI under James Comey, was under a criminal investigation for leaking information to the media. Andrew McCabe, who was the number two at the FBI, the deputy director, is also under a criminal investigation for leaking information. James Comey acknowledged leaking information through a conduit in order to get a special counsel appointed. We have also learned that Bruce Orr, whose wife Nellie Orr, was working for Fusion GPS, which put together the Steele dossier on the president, then candidate Trump, that even after he was fired by the FBI for leaking information to the media, that's why Christopher Steele was fired. He was a paid asset, leaking information that the FBI, after James Comey was fired, tries to re-engage Christopher Steele. So this whole idea that they were so concerned about James Comey being fired that they want to introduce and commence this counterintelligence investigation appears to be completely bogus, Jordan. I mean, completely bogus. That's your assessment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because you've got Peter Strzok writing in text message to Lisa Page after Comey gets fired, we need to open the case we've been waiting on. So they already wanted to open this case. We know they wanted to undermine the president, take out the president, dirty the president, however they could, to disrupt his presidency and ultimately even end his presidency, if possible. And so they were just waiting for the right moment. I think while Jim Comey was there, he was also so controversial, unlikely to approve things that were right. Going to make more controversy. But then when Andy McCabe was there, Andy McCabe was a partisan believer like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And they're, I would say Republican-Democrat, they just didn't like Trump.
Right.
And they were willing to go to great lengths, possibly illegal lengths. So breaking the law, not just government policies, they're being investigated for that, these two. And again, they had it ready to go before Jim Comey was even fired by Trump. So this whole idea that it's Jim Comey's firing that triggered all of this, not really.
Okay, so then you're not going to get the House oversight anymore because that's in Republican control. But the Senate Democratic control. The Senate has authority, though, in investigations as well.
Certainly. The Senate Judiciary Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee would have jurisdiction over some of this. I've frankly not been very impressed by the Senate Intelligence Committee's look into this. But, Jay, this is, I would say, why it makes it even more important for us to continue to reveal this information from the outside to really force the Senate to move on it. And, Jay, I would just add one layer to the conversation you're having about Christopher Steele. It's true. He was fired for leaking. But we also know for a fact that the FBI knew that the information he was providing, the dossier and others, couldn't be verified. So, Jay, not only was he leaking, he was providing bad information, and yet the FBI continued to go back to him after they technically terminated him.
And, Andy, we know he was being paid by both parties, both the FBI and Fusion GPS.
That's right.
Simultaneously. Well, according to testimony,
that should tell you something about the credibility of anything Steele does. And yet, why are they trying? Why is he trying to get back on the payroll to work for Mueller? I mean, he's a corrupt person.
Well, I'm going to read for you when we come back from the break, a text message that should cause everybody that's listening to be concerned about what was going on here. We'll also take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. But let me tell you something. When you read this, when you hear this, you're going to be it's starting to tell you what's happening. It's all starting to come out now. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you, as we go into a break, we're going to have a special video for those on Facebook and Periscope. And don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. I've got our team right now putting it. We've got a stack of emails or text messages and content from our FOIA litigation, and we're putting a list together tomorrow of the ones with all these key players that we've listed. And it's voluminous, but that's how you get to the bottom of this. It takes a lot to get there. It takes a lot of time to get there. But we're getting the answers. We'll take your calls when we come back from break at 1-800-684-3110. And again, support the work of the ACLJ. Easy to do. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So if you're just joining us, we've been talking about that you've got all these multiple investigations of the FBI going on. So those of you who say, will anybody be held accountable? Obviously, the answer is yes. I mean, people are starting to be held accountable. Now, Andy's theory is that it's all coming out now because of the ongoing criminal investigation. Then I'm going to read some information I think is going to be pretty shocking. Go ahead, Andy. But you think this is all starting to come out because of the criminal investigation?
The criminal investigations are causing people to come out and want to put their own narrative up there and want to say what their story is so they can exonerate themselves. So Orr is now talking about stuff, or it's being disclosed what Orr said about Steele, and everybody's coming out to put the narrative out there that best shines the light on them. That's what this is all about when you have a criminal investigation. I didn't do anything. I didn't know anything. Let me tell you the truth. But you didn't say this months ago. You're saying it only when the possibility of a criminal investigation is being dangled in front of you.
Yeah. So let me read for you what we have here. So this is a text message exchange between Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele. Now, Christopher Steele is the famous Steele dossier, put the dossier together. Remember, at this point, he'd been fired by the FBI. The FBI, starting in May, end of May, tries to rehire Steele, even though he was fired for leaking. James Comey's out. They want to rehire him. This is now November 18th, so this is months and months later of 2017. Dear Bruce, I hope you and the family are well. It's been another tough week here under the media spotlight and with legal pressures bearing down on us. I'm presuming you've heard nothing back from your SC, that'd be special counsel colleagues, on the issue you kindly put to them from me. We've heard nothing from them either. To say this is disappointing would be an understatement. Certain people have been willing to risk everything to engage with them in an effort to help them reach the truth. Also, we remain in the dark as to what has been briefed to Congress about us, our assets, and previous work. I know you understand the importance of all this and have done your very best to support us, but we would be grateful if you could continue to communicate these sentiments to them. Sincere thanks for everything you are doing, and I hope to speak to you again soon. Best, Chris. Reaction, Andy.
Reaction is Steele wants to get back on. He's been kicked out because of his actions and his transactions and the things that he does. And now he wants to get back on, so he goes to his friend Orr, who still is working in the Department of Justice, Jay. Okay,
right. And his wife's working for Fusion GPS.
And his wife is working for Fusion GPS. And he says, thank you for kindly putting the stuff to Mueller's team, the special counsels, but I've heard nothing back from them. In other words, I want to get back on the gravy train here, but I haven't heard, and I'm all disappointed, and that's an understatement. Anything you can do, the media is looking at me terribly, and I'm under scrutiny. Help me out here.
Jordan.
Yeah, no, I think, again, and it is about money, ultimately, for Christopher Steele. He is a paid-for-hire gun, a former spy, so he wasn't just, like, re-engaging for goodwill basis here. It means monetary transactions. And Bruce Orr was also benefiting from all this because his wife was benefiting from it monetarily. So, remember, Bruce Orr has got a financial stake. He's not just doing this as a concerned Department of Justice attorney. In fact, he admits it was the only time he's ever been used as a conduit for information like this. So it was totally outside the norm for him to be in this position. And in fact, Peter Strzok had to assign Bruce Orr an FBI agent to take in the information because Bruce Orr had no idea what to do with it and wasn't the appropriate person.
Yet, he was just a conduit.
But he remained in that position while his wife was also getting paid. So he made sure. Bruce Orr may sound like he's telling all the info, and he might be. But he like made sure to keep his hands in the same money pot to make sure that I think he was getting credit from Fusion GPS for keeping these monetary relationships ongoing.
So, Than, we know that Senator Graham is concerned about this. He said it yesterday in Bill Barr's confirmation hearing.
Absolutely. I mean, he made the point that Andy just made, that how convenient was it that there was a senior official at the FBI that had a wife who could make this connection, and he continued to do so. Jay, I also know that Senator Graham is concerned that that he was maybe employed, or not employed, but maybe contracted by the special counsel. And Jay, it's really not even that much of a stretch of the imagination to consider whether that happened, because honestly, if that happened, it's just simply the same arrangement that the FBI had with Christopher Steele. They terminated his association, yet they continued to use him. So, of course, Christopher Steele thinks the special counsel might make an exception, even though all of us look at it and say that would be crazy. It sure looks like he was trying. We need to find out whether or not he was successful.
All right, I'm going to take calls at 1-800-684-3110 in a minute, so if you want to talk to us, get on. We'll talk about this topic. Let me read you another set of text messages. This one is November 18th. Ruth, Chris, thanks for reaching out. I understand the difficulties and uncertainty you're experiencing. I haven't heard anything, but I will reach out again and ask for an update. Let's plan to talk earlier in the week. Then there's nothing reported until November 27th of 2017, just over a year ago. And this is, hi, Bruce. This is from Chris. Is there any chance we could have a catch-up WhatsApp call this evening, GMT? That's the international time. Around 1500 with you. Otherwise, tomorrow evening, many thanks, Chris. Bruce says, Chris, I have a meeting ending at 1500 today that would spill over a few minutes. Would 1515 work for you? Yes, of course. I will call you then.
Yeah. I mean, what I really want to know, because I also know that Peter Strzok, we know, was managing Christopher Steele in the sense that he assigned an FBI agent to Bruce Orr to get the information from Christopher Steele. It's funny how the FBI didn't want to directly engage with Christopher Steele. Yep. So they kept Bruce Orr as the intermediary. But Peter Strzok moves to the special counsel's office for a few months before he gets terminated by the special counsel and then ultimately fired from the FBI because of his Trump biases that comes out. It appears that Peter Strzok would have been likely to rehire someone like Christopher Steele. And did he rehire? I would, you know, I think the special counsel's team, if they want the credibility, should get with this information out. Be nice to know from their spokesperson, who never speaks, but things leak all the time from their office. But did Christopher Steele, was he reengaged by technically Department of Justice or whoever's paying the bill, all of us, the taxpayer, as part of the $25 million that's been spent on this investigation? Did it even go to Christopher Steele?
Yes, Bob Mueller, if you're listening, answer the question. Did you hire Christopher Steele back? I'd like to know.
Says Andy Economo, senior counsel for the ACLJ and one of the counsel of the presidents. All right.
Because it goes to that picture. What did he do with Peter Strzok's info?
Well, that's what I keep always. I've been asking that question for you know, a year and a half. Let me tell you this. There's a lot more in this document that Will gave me. I'm going to save this, the rest of this, for tomorrow because there's that much going back in time with this Christopher Steele thing. It's like I said, I think it's all coming out because it's going to come out. So, all right, let's take calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yep, Joe in New Mexico on line one. Joe, welcome to JCKO Live.
Yes, hello. Thank you. My question is something that's never been explained to the American people ever is why would releasing by James Comey a conversation with the president to the press, why would that trigger a special counsel? It's not a law. Hey, you release a conversation from the president, it triggers a special counsel. What it seems to a lot of us is that James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, and Bob Mueller really had this plan. You know, Jim, Rod, and Bob got together and, hey, Jim, you know, tells Rod, I'm going to do this, I'm going to release this, and let's get Bob in on this. It sounds like a plot to many of us.
Why I will tell you the one thing we don't see in any of this is I don't see any text messages or emails from Bob Mueller. So I'll just be clear on that. I want to be, because we don't have that. That's not something we have. But here's what we do have. We do have all these other text messages, and we're getting, Fan, you said it's an inch thick, which is one case, and we're going to get an easy emails, and it'll be, I'm sure, another inch thick with the other cases.
Oh, it's going to be incredibly voluminous. And just to the caller's point, remember that email that he's talking about that, again, he sent to his Holy Trinity, Andrew McCabe, James Rubicki, and James Baker have come out. Jay, in his own words, he said, James Comey, I'm not sure of the proper classification here, so I have chosen secret. So, Jay, he himself said that it was secret classification and then eventually leaked it out. If that's not problematic, I'm not sure what is.
But Chris Steele gets fired for leaking, too. But here's what sure. Remember what James Comey said to answer the question that the caller just asked. Take a listen.
Well, I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
I'd like to know what those variety of reasons are.
Never has articulated it. He just says he didn't want to do it himself for a variety of reasons. I'd have stopped him and said, such as.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'd like to know the answer to that question.
Well, he plays it slick.
Yeah,
does. He's, again, what we see, though, is that his deputies are not playing it quite as slick. They are kind of spilling the beans. And we did not know what the Bruce Orr testimony was like. But we did know that he wasn't immediately removed from the Department of Justice. This may be why. It may be because he's a cooperating witness. He's highly cooperating. And so he did get demoted at DOJ. He lost his title as a deputy attorney general.
Assistant attorney general.
So he lost his title, and so he got taken out of the chain of command.
Right.
But he's still a very high-level official there.
So I'm holding in my hand a copy of the lawsuit filed in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of Justice. This is get information on all this, and this is what we're getting this information. So when you support the work of the ACLJ, we're not just talking about it on radio and TV. We are litigating this to get to the bottom of this. What was going on here? And will we ever know? Well, we're getting there. So support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Hey, we're coming up to the last segment of the broadcast. That means we take your questions on any topic. So you give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Call now while we're taking a break on radio so you can get your comments in. 1-800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope. You can call us, of course, or you could put your questions or comments in the chat, and our team will review that. Everything that comes in, our team's reviewing on social media, so they look at this during the entire broadcast. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, any topic. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. Last segment. Aaron on Facebook says, I think Comey wanted to create smoke to cover his tracks. Patty on Facebook says, all this information you're giving us feels like just the tip of the iceberg of corruption, Andy.
It is the tip of the iceberg of corruption. As I said, former administrations and former attorneys general would be turning over in their graves if they knew that this was what the Department of Justice and the FBI had degenerated into. And it saddens me very deeply.
Fan just learned something during the break, though, that I think let's talk to the radio audience about. And that is, as you're going through the documents, what else did you find?
Yeah, so on these emails that we've been talking about, Jay, not only did they go to James Baker down the chain, they were also copied to two other officials inside his office. So two officials inside the general counsel's office. Jay, their names are redacted on what we got. Now, I think there could be two likely scenarios. Either one, they participated and we need to find out who they were so that they're no longer handling this information. Or, Jay, I think maybe more likely, maybe this is where some of the information is coming from for the investigations. Maybe they have a couple of officials inside the general counsel's office who are cooperating. We don't know the answer to that, Jay, but the bottom line is what you've been saying. Even if we get redacted information, we know who received it, we know which offices received it, and it helps those who are investigating know where to look.
Yep. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and grab one.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Betty in California, on line 3. Betty,
question
welcome.
Question on the shutdown. Go ahead, Betty.
Take your life.
Yep.
Hi, I was calling because I was asking about after 30 calendar days, if we reach 30 calendar days of the employees have been off, can they do a reduction in force, which means that they could lay off the people or terminate the people that they don't want to, that maybe a slothful employee.
I don't think that's the plan at all. I think the plan is to figure out how to get through the impasse. Stan, what is the latest on the shutdown?
Well, the president invited congressional leaders to the White House again yesterday, and Democrat leaders weren't willing to even show up and have a conversation, Jay. So, it's a one-sided negotiation right now. The president continues to reach out, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer now, not only are they not willing to make an offer, Jay, they're not even willing to go to the end of Pennsylvania Avenue to have that conversation. Now, both chambers are going to be in session next week. They're not going to take a recess during this a recess, but, Jay, there's no movement towards a deal legislatively at this point.
What do you think the politics of that are, Jordan? How does it look right now?
I think that the politics of this, honestly, are we're getting pretty used to it. I mean, there are the government workers I know who are unhappy about, you know, potential paycheck issues coming about. But honestly, the Democrats are unwilling to budget. You know, we haven't gotten into it today, but that whole issue, Nancy Pelosi saying you can't do the State of the Union. And the State of the Union, it's interesting, doesn't actually have to be given before Congress. You could just hand them a piece of paper, and you could give the State of the Union from the Oval Office if you wanted to. Or you could demand. I mean, the president could come back and say, I'm giving the State of the Union from Congress. Now, because she already did it, the initial invite for January 29th, now she's trying to rescind it. So there are, again, it's political games.
Yep.
And I think Nancy Pelosi, by making moves like this, is actually makes it more of a political game. So all this, it's infecting all these people and all of this. I mean, if you thought it was so bad for the president, making him get up before Congress, you'd think would be a tough thing. But she doesn't want him to come before Congress and be able to speak to the American people. It's playing politics with it, and it looks like the Democrats are playing games, which is why I ultimately think that this, it's still going on. Because they're not taking it that serious on the other side.
So Jim Jordan commented on this yesterday, or actually today. this morning. Here you go.
The Democrats won't even negotiate with the president. They didn't. He asked them to come talk yesterday, and they said no. And now what did we just learn? That the Speaker of the House is thinking about not inviting the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, to come deliver the State of the Union address? This just underscores what we've been saying. Until they start focusing on the country and not just on stopping the president, I don't know how you can reach an agreement with these folks.
So, Than, what is the status right now? How do you view it?
Well, first of all, Jay, the speaker says that while standing in the very building that the president would be delivering the speech from. So she's saying the building that I'm in is not safe enough for you to come down and speak from. It just doesn't make any sense. Jay, this is a political calculation for Nancy Pelosi, but I think she's miscalculating because here's how I see it. It's 800,000 federal workers who are in no doubt in a bad spot. Yep. Jay, they are not. They should not be paying the price for this. But it's 800,000 federal workers versus the rest of the American people across the country who are largely not impacted by this. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but if Nancy Pelosi thinks that those political calculations will sway in her favor in the long run, I think she's miscalculated.
Chris on Facebook said, is there any way for the president to call an emergency meeting with Congress to force them to show up?
I mean, he invites them to go. I think that ultimately he can declare emergencies that it believes are necessary.
I don't think you can force Congress to
come to a meeting.
It's a co-equal branch of government.
I don't think, no, that's right.
Not to come to a meeting, not to pass legislation, not to open the... I mean, ultimately, Congress has to put something on his desk, and he can't force them to do that.
Well, then, did they let this go? I mean, does it just go on for another month? I mean, what happens here?
You know, I don't know, Jay.
It's barely even being talked about anymore. It's like it's, you know...
Yeah, it's just part of life.
It's part of life.
Well, the president has said it is my duty to secure the border under Article 2 of the Constitution, and I'm going to do it one way or another. Jay, I think he's doing the right thing by, you know, really going the extra mile to try to get a solution here that both parties are participating in. But how long it might take before the Democrat Party comes to the table, I don't know. Jay, I'll tell you this. I pray it doesn't take something tragic happening. I really do.
I don't like that either.
It needs to not come to that. They need to come to a resolution before something like that occurs.
Let me ask this question, Than, and everybody can comment, but let me ask this question. Hypothetically, because I'm speaking now as Jay Sekulow, American Center for Law and Justice, not as the president's lawyer. So if in negotiation you put on the table, look, I want the funding for that wall. I want that wall completed. I want the security protections implemented on our border to secure our border. And it's going to cost whatever it is, $25 billion. I am willing to also end the DACA problem by codifying it and working out some type of status for those that are here illegally that have been here for a number of periods. You have to have criteria, but the 12 to 18 million people that are here illegally, some kind of status so they start paying taxes and participate, come out of the shadows. Can the Democrats say, no, we're not going to discuss that?
Well, they already have. I mean, if it were about substance, Jay, no, of course they couldn't, because that's more than they asked for in the first place. But then the president offered that, and they did say we're not willing to discuss it.
So now, they don't want immigration reform under this president's watch.
Absolutely not. I mean, I think that that's number one. They don't care what it would do, who it would benefit, because they don't want to have to give credit. It's Donald Trump or any Republican. But especially it's Donald Trump. So it doesn't matter if it's DACA, it doesn't matter if it's a pathway to citizenship for 15 million people who are here illegally. They don't want it. And as long as they can kind of try to keep selling to Hispanic and Latino voters that this is somehow a president who is against them, even though they're really the ones keeping people in the shadows at this point.
Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, the Democrats would be putting a feather in the cap of the president. They hate the president. They resist the president. They oppose him at every turn. They opened a counterintelligence investigation under circumstances that were absurd against the president of the United States. They're not going to do anything that inures ultimately to the benefit of Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. All right, that does it for the broadcast. You need to be getting our emails. You sign up for those at aclj.org. Keeps you engaged. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jay Sekulow. Jordan's at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. We encourage you to do all that and support the work of the ACLJ as well. You can do that by going over to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We talk about all these cases, engage in all these issues. Your support of the ACLJ does make a huge difference. Now, what happens tomorrow? So when does Bill Barr get a committee vote for Attorney General?
Probably 2 weeks from now, assuming the Senate is in session next week. 2 weeks from now, he will be voted out of committee.
And then how soon to the vote?
Very likely the next week on the Senate floor.
It's about 3 weeks out. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, AC.